The Take the North podcast is brought to you by the Roarman Automotive Group, home of the $50 oil change. Visit them online at roarman.com.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Tastes have changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store in 1991, but not the way they do business. At Bob's, I know I can get today's styles, like feature-packed bedroom sets with storage and charging, or real marble dining sets, all at 90s-era prices. Plus, with no money-down financing options and fast shipping, you don't have to wait months to get your furniture. So, stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts,
all these guys,
Dan Wiederer and Mark Grody.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast. Along with Dan Wiederer from The Athletic, I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score. What's going on, Dan?
Not a whole lot. Week zero is going on, Grody. Week zero. You know what comes after week zero?
Week one. Is it week one? Oh, correct. My goodness.
Ding, 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 ding.
And then week two. Yeah. At Carolina on the 13th. And then the first home game against the Minnesota Vikings. Is that a noon game, by the way? Is that just a standard? I feel like there's not a lot of noon.
I believe so. And then we get Monday night against the Eagles at Soldier Field. Then a trip to Green Bay. I mean, we're there. We are there. We are seeing the starting gate from where we're sitting right now.
The gauntlet is coming soon, and I absolutely cannot wait. I was just, before we came on here, I was doing a radio hit on Sirius XM, of which The Score is now a part. People could hear The Score, and maybe which would mean Take the North Live will appear around the country on XM. I was on Mad Dog Radio, so he got me all tuned up for this. I mean, they are around the nation. There is an expectation from the Bears, and they were asking me how excited everybody is around here. And I told him, they're so excited around here that being critical of the Bears is a dangerous game these days around here, being critical of Caleb Williams. And I think you and I have been about as measured as any podcast or sports talk radio show, of which, of course, I am a part, and editorializing on trying to tell it like it is every step of the way with Caleb Williams. And, you know, or in the offense, one of the big questions that I was asked, but just throw this out there to you, was like, what makes you guys think, or what makes you, Grody, think that the Bears can repeat the magic of last year because of all the late fourth quarter comebacks, because of all the interceptions? And my answer simply was because you have a head coach who is more self-aware, or team aware, self-aware of any coach that we've seen around here in a long time, at least the way he talks, and obviously the actions and the play calling and the way he goes about keeping this team together.
Right. And I don't expect the success to look identical. This is not going to be a mirror into 2025. It's going to be a whole different season with a whole different path to carving out success. I think you bring up Ben's leadership as a major engine of all of this. I think you understand that there's a young core here of guys that, you know, when the conversation is had, is this team better than the one that played the Rams in January? You have to assume that Colston Loveland is a better football. You have to assume that Luther Burden is a better football player. You have to assume Darnell Wright's a better football player. You have to assume Jalen Johnson and Roma Dunze are healthier. And so all of a sudden you start to put some of those pieces into the puzzle and you go, okay, same name on paper, but legitimately should be an upgrade over what they had to finish last season. And so that should give you a little bit of encouragement and hearten the view as we walk into week one next week.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at too. And then the obvious development of Caleb Williams and the things that they've been working on with him and stressing with him, other than the big explosive plays in the fourth quarter, getting all the ball placement stuff right, completion percentage, all the simple stuff. So it all adds up to hopefully a season that is not just a pop-up season this year like some of the past winning seasons of the Bears. What are you, Dan Weider, right now, if you're watching on video on Take the North, is holding his phone up, and I'm having to put on the old man.
I know. I was just going to ask, can you see what I'm showing?
Because
it marries up with what you're talking about.
It says Bears Lab, and I see a number 18. So that's Caleb Williams opening up his white jacket, like a sports coat.
Little lab coat.
Oh, it's a lab coat.
Some test tubes and beakers, and he's standing there with a cartoon version of Ben Johnson. I just wanted to show you this. There's something coming next week at The Athletic, but it marries up with what you're talking about. I just wanted to see if that cartoon that I had Microsoft Copilot make for me via AI this morning would flash on the podcast. But
oh yeah,
I think it, like, when we're talking about, again, the growth of Caleb Williams, the growth of the Caleb Williams Ben Johnson relationship, you understand that those guys have a lot more to get out of each other. You know what I mean? And like, I think that's to the question you were just asking on will they be able to mirror or match last year's success? Well, they should be able to be better in a lot of areas that they've spent the last 7 months working on.
Yeah. And that also pertains to the defense. I mean, there's some reasons for hope for sure, and we'll get into some of that on this version of the podcast. There is something really interesting that Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, said about his quarterback, Caleb Williams, in terms of his development and areas where maybe he has improved, not just physically, but in terms of his mentality and his personality and his character and his professionalism. So I would like to play this soundbite from Ben Johnson and about Caleb. We'll let you listen to it because it's kind of funny, but I think Dan and I can both interpret what Ben Johnson is about to say and you're about to hear right now on Take the North.
I've seen a very composed person every time he steps into the building. This guy, you know, might have had a little bit of goofy to him a year ago, and I use that term with love, and now you just see a more serious player and intent every time I'm around him. And I think his teammates feel that as well. You know, he's getting to the practice field early. He's making sure his part is taken care of. He's warmed up. He's ready to go. He's staying after with the guys after practice. I think you guys see that on a regular basis. And so he's taking a lot of pride in his approach right now. And it trickles down to everybody around him. I think it's a great thing. And so I think he continues to grow up and he's going to be a huge leader for us this year.
How do you define goofy in that case, in that context? I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I mean, I say that lovingly, and it's like, no, it's just when we step on the grass, you can kind of just see it, like he's locked in. He's got his blinders on and he's only concerned about doing his job at a high level. And, There were some times where maybe a year ago you get sidetracked or distracted a little bit. And yet this year that has not been the case. This guy is, he's serious about his approach, his job, and making sure he's taking his game to the next level.
Really interesting, because Dan, I know what he means by that. Like Caleb Williams has a playful personality.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. And Goofy is apropos. Like, and there again, like, there's nothing wrong with Goofy. I'm a little goofy. You're a little goofy. We're all. So, and you, like I said, like, I've complimented you many times about how one of the things about Caleb Williams, when he first walked in the door here, he needed to learn how to be a professional quarterback. And that doesn't mean that the goofy goes away. It just means know when to be goofy and when not to be goofy, and know when to show that and when not to show that.
Yeah, right. This is maturity, right? And I just pulled it up on my phone to make sure I was correct on this. Caleb is still 24 years old. The 25th mm-hmm. birthday doesn't arrive until November, you know, more than halfway through what will be his third NFL season. And so that process has been ongoing since he came in here as a rookie, probably was ongoing during his time in college at two different places. And it's there, you know, and I feel like Ben kind of caught himself when he said that in the press conference on Tuesday. And then Caleb told a small collection of us on Tuesday afternoon that Ben found him at the practice field to basically do the preemptive strike and say, listen, like, in front of all the cameras and the microphones, I called you goofy today, and I just want you to know it was meant with love. And, you know, I thought that was a good approach by the coach to make sure that he got in front of it before Caleb read on Pro Football Talk. You know, Ben Johnson calls his quarterback goofy. You know what I mean? You go, coach, what the hell is this? What does this mean? But, you know, I think you make a really good point about the personality type, and then understanding just when the switch needs to flip, and a coach expressing his pride in the fact that the quarterback has made this step to become more full of purpose, to become more full of intent when he gets out on the field. And so, look, I think we've both been very impressed and maybe in awe to some extent of how far the two of these guys have come together in the last year and a half. It means a lot to the direction of the franchise. And I think that they've been on the same page really for probably 10 months now, where you feel like it's just that there's momentum.
Yeah. It took a while to get there. Obviously it was a bit jarring from Caleb's perspective for a while, but now when you have the success, with success comes the buy-in, and now it's like Caleb Williams is like, let's go. What else you got for me? And we could see it. And I was talking about this today, like Caleb Williams is different from any quarterback that I've ever covered in my life. That's for sure. In terms of that the being affable, being goofy, being approachable, being open to any kind of question. There is, I don't remember the last time he flinched at a question or became frustrated with a reporter or didn't want to answer a question. You can tell when he's pushing back a little bit on us with some of the questions, for sure. And that comes from a place of confidence. But I've never seen anything like him in terms of, like, even when we're in the locker room, like, you know, the reporter etiquette with quarterback is that they speak at the lectern once a week, and then we kind of leave them alone and maybe sometimes have a word or two with the quarterback, whether it was Justin Fields or Mitchell Trubisky. But Caleb Williams is the one that welcomes all comers and conversations, and I never abused that or used it to, like, get really serious stuff from him.
Right. Yeah. You're just trying to create a connection. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
And just, yeah, find a human side there to link up with. Sort of married up with this, Ryan Poles on Tuesday mentioned the joy that he's seen in Caleb in this camp. And I think he used the phrase that last year he felt like Caleb was white knuckling a lot of the time, particularly during camp and in the early parts of the season. That was a good analogy too, because we've all been in the car, right? Like, remember the last time you were driving through a horrible rainstorm and you're sitting there and the wipers are going and you can't really see the car right in front of you. And you're just like, you're having no fun. There's a great song on the radio. You can't have any fun with it because you're making sure that you don't roll over the rumble strips and off the edge. And then you get to the sunshine and now you can sing that song. You can be silly. You can take the hands off the steering wheel. You can do that. There have been a number of instances throughout camp over the last month plus where you've seen Caleb be very animated with the way he's reacted to a positive play, whether it's his own or one of his teammates, and celebrating that and going after hitting Luther Burden in an end-of-game situation early in camp and really being fired up about the result of the play. A couple instances I can recall right off the top of my hand to Khalif Raymond, where you just see what Ryan Poles calls the competitive joy, and that comes from a guy who's comfortable, who's confident, who just feels loose and free, but is still very serious in those moments as well. You know, but this is like – this is the personality of Caleb coming out in all the right ways at all the right times. You got to keep that going, obviously, for another 4.5 months to get to this to this team's goals.
Okay, so you like doing your own oil changes. It's got to be cheaper at home, right? But is it really cheaper than the $50 full synthetic oil change at the Roorman Automotive Group? So to do it at home, you need to buy a case of oil. That's $35 to $60. A new oil filter, that'll run you about $5 to $25. A crush washer, whatever a crush washer is, a drain pan, an oil filter wrench, a socket set. You got to have all the right tools if you want to do it at home. Or you could just take your vehicle to the Roorman Automotive Group and get the $50 full synthetic lube, oil, and filter change on virtually any make or any model vehicle by factory-trained technicians and our state-of-the-art facilities. That's exactly what I did. And that's right, just $50. Offer is good at any of the Roorman Automotive Group stores, 10 locations here in Chicagoland. And for more than 60 years, the Roorman Automotive Group has provided consumers with the highest quality new and pre-driven automotive products combined with excellent customer service and sales. That is the truth. Also, leasing and vehicle maintenance services. Visit Roorman.com or any of their 20 store websites, including 10 stores right here in Chicagoland, to schedule your next service appointment online in real time for up to 7 quarts of full synthetic oil available on virtually every make and model. See our website for exclusions.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint scheme. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Right. It's place and time and channeling it correctly. So interesting stuff there from Ben Johnson. The stuff that we can't call goofy is the continuing saga on Kyler Gordon and the Bears. Yep. It's like the left tackle. We have to talk about it. Yep. It's like the stadium. We have to talk about it. But Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, spoke another round of questions about Kyler Gordon. I want to play the audio and then Dan and I will react to it and hopefully add some layers of insight on it as well. So here's Ryan Poles on his injured player, Kyler Gordon, who is currently on the PUP list.
With Kyler, are you convinced he's going to play for you?
I don't know. I would hope so. I still have hope there. He's going to have to continue to work hard and get back to playing football again.
It feels like there's a disconnect somehow. I mean, when I ask you whether you know whether a player's going to play for you at all, you say, I don't know. What specificity can you give us about what's going on here?
Yeah, I really can't. I think when people come back from injuries, there's different things that happen. Sometimes they return fast, sometimes it's slow. So it's really a timing thing and a healing thing and a confidence thing. So I really don't. I wish I did. But we'll see.
Is Kyler working with your staff here? Or is he working with outside help?
Yeah, he's working with our staff here. You know, some of these guys, they also have, you know, other people that they work with too. But yeah.
Is there a difference between what he's reporting to you guys about his pain and discomfort versus how you all have assessed his injury?
I think, listen, anytime you have an injury, and again, I'm not going to get all into the details of this. I wish I had more for you all. But anytime you have an injury and you're coming back from something, there's discomfort that you have to push through. And that's what it comes down to. So we haven't been able to get over that hump, and we're not progressing as fast as we would like. So that's really all I have to say about that.
There's Ryan Poles, Bears general manager, on Kyler Gordon. And he, like, the whole thing is a shoulder shrug, I think, from the Bears. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I think it's pretty easy to interpret that they're saying we feel like he's probably ready to do more, to play more. And yep. that's by saying that everybody, you have discomfort, you got to push through. Ryan Poles saying that. Not really knowing specifically when he's going to be able to play. It sounds like the ball is in Kyler Gordon's corner and the Bears have given the proverbial green light. At least that's how I interpret this. And the frustrations are obvious from the Bears' standpoint and allowing us to, by those great, you guys did a great job with those questions. Nothing was left unasked, I didn't think, to Ryan Poles, but Ryan Poles is allowing us a relative rarity to interpret as we may. And the way we're interpreting, it sounds like it's pretty close to correct. But what did you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, with everything we just played, I felt like there were 10 words within there that really summarized everything that we experienced on Tuesday with Ryan. The first three are, I don't know. You know, it was just the way he said, I don't know. It was like to the point, it was defeated. It was frustrated. It was all those things. I mean, you could read it in the body language and the tone. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to play for us. You know, like, I don't know. And then the other seven where there's discomfort, you have to push through sometimes. Right. And that seems to be something that's a holdup for this situation right now, where the Bears feel like maybe Kyler's not pushing through the discomfort that he could be pushing through. And we've got instances. We've got Ozzie Trapillo back on the practice field after a torn patellar tendon. We've got Darnell Wright dealing with a serious elbow issue for the last, 11 months with a brace on his arm. And even when it flares up, he misses part of a practice, and then he's back. You got Jalen Johnson, who comes back from core muscle surgery and tries to give you everything he has down the stretch of a playoff season because he's got that little bit of competitive tenacity in him. And it doesn't seem, from the Bears' point of view, like they're getting that same type of investment from Kyler at this point. It's going to be amazing when we get a chance to hear from Kyler for the first time. I'm hopeful that he defends himself at some point, that he decides to speak up and speak out. It does feel like a bizarre situation right now. It does feel like the Bears don't have time to wait around. We know the type of culture that Ben is trying to build here, and it's forward-looking, and it's driven, and it's you give us everything you got, and we'll have your back. If you don't give us everything you've got, we'll be pretty frustrated. And it feels like they're on that latter stage of connecting right now in the Kyler Gordon saga. And will he play this year? I don't know. Those are the words of the GM.
Absolutely. It's almost like, you tell me. I don't know. It's like, right. it's really it's a crazy situation. And you're right. Like, we need to hear from Kyler Gordon's camp, because it's like, I don't want to indict him. I want to know what he's thinking. I want to know what his side of the story is. And
just getting destroyed in the court of public opinion right now. I mean, like, just getting destroyed. And I know if it were me, there would come a breaking point where I'd say, well, wait a minute, let me tell you what I'm feeling, and let me tell you why I'm not back yet. And we just haven't got that yet. So it's really a one-sided story, and maybe it will remain a one-sided story. Maybe it really is a one-sided story, but that's where we're at right now.
Yeah. That makes you wonder, like, are the Bears right? And because he's not saying anything about it, and he's not defending himself. Just a simple, hey, I'm doing everything I can to get back. Can't wait to play for the Bears again. Peace out. Something like that. But we're not getting that typical response. So hopefully, eventually we will. The other part of this, and you and I have talked about it, I don't know if scrambling is the right word at that nickel defender spot, but they don't have that spot nailed down yet. Malik Muhammad, they've put him in lots of positions to do it. I don't know if he can do it. I don't know if Cam Lewis is going to do it. I don't know if Clark Phillips is the answer at the nickel. I don't know if, like, Jalen Jones is not even healthy right now. And he was the first one out of the box, out of the gates this during the offseason program and into camp. So it's like it's still a huge question mark at that.
Well, and you're right. So you say maybe not scrambling, maybe troubleshooting is the better verb there to use for where they're at. And I think it's really a fascinating time for them because it's one thing to throw Malik Muhammad into a training camp practice, a training camp scrimmage, a training camp joint practice against other opponents and be like, man, this is fun to watch him try things out in the nickel against, you know, NFL competition and see how aggressive and fearless and you know, physical and, you know, driven he is. And then there's a whole nother thing to go throw him out there on a Sunday on September 13th, where if you make two, three mistakes, the entire next week is why the hell are the Bears 0-1? You know, oh man, they blew a coverage in the nickel. The rookie didn't know what he was supposed to do. You know what I mean? So the stakes go up here. Yeah. So those are decisions that Dennis Allen has to make, that Ben Johnson has to make. You mentioned Clark Phillips. I think that they understand that most of his NFL experience has been on the outside. He did play in the slot in college. Dennis Allen did say on Wednesday that he sees him having to kind of at least try his hand in the slot a little bit for them. And so we'll see what that experiment looks like. This guy just got here, you know, a couple days ago. And so he doesn't have any experience in the defense. You could move Cam Lewis to play the slot and use Xavier Woods as your second safety opposite of Dylan Thiemann. Like there's a lot of puzzling and troubleshooting that needs to go on here before they get on the flight to Charlotte. And we'll just kind of stand by and wait to see what they decide. But troubleshooting is probably where they're at.
Yep. Yep. Still trying to figure it out. And Ben Johnson came pretty close while we're talking about those positions and the competitions going on. Pretty close to naming the left tackle, but it was pretty hilarious because, and I'm just going to read these quotes here. Ben on the left tackle situation. We're going to be good to go for week one. We're going to be able to operate as an offense. I think we'll be able to score points. It's the most robotic sounding, generalized answer, and again, not convincing answer, similar to last year's answer on Braxton Jones. We'll be good to go. We're going to be able to operate as offense. I think we'll be able to score points. So I think it's going to be Braxton Jones, but again, it's non-convincing, and it's Ben Johnson kind of telling you that they're still not where they want to be as far as the left tackle is concerned.
Ben Johnson doesn't want to be okay. Ben Johnson wants to be excellent, right? And like that's what this is all graded on. That's where the Bears are at. And so until he starts getting the level of left tackle play from somebody that matches up with the championship standard that he believes is necessary to win the final game in February, he's not going to be satisfied, and he's not going to give you a sugary answer that makes you feel better about something that like probably isn't that nutritious inside, whatever. I'm blowing the analogy here right in real time.
Right? Like, I'm just letting you stumble, buddy.
Which is what I love about you.
Let it out.
But I mean, like you just feel it in what you just read and the way, again, it's tone, it's body language. It's just like, I wish we were better there and we're not. And we're going to go and we're going to work with it right now. And we're going to try to continue to make upgrades with the players we have, with the coaches we have, with the, you know, the personnel that we can use to help what we presume will be Braxton Jones in week one against the Panthers. And then, you know, everybody will keep their eyes on how quickly Ozzie Trapillo starts to get himself more football ready in a state where maybe he can have a greater say in this whole thing.
You know who has had, as it turns out, feels like he's having a terrific camp is Roma Dunze, at least the way that coaches are talking about him and Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson calling him Mr. Consistency, saying he looked completely healthy. And it was unprompted, too, like talking about the foot thing. And he heard the new normal stuff. He heard all that. And he even went so far as to tell you guys out there at Hallis Hall that he showed a highlight of a play on a safety or something like that, a highlight of Roma Dunze. So it feels like, unless they're overcompensating here, it feels like all systems are go and Roma Dunze could be poised to have a really good start to this season.
Yeah, that anecdote you mentioned from the joint practice in Nashville, Roma Dunze cracking a safety, you know, down the field in a play that's not designed for him, but putting his stamp on that play regardless. And Ben's noticing that, like, this is a guy putting in maximum effort when the play's not his. And Ben said, it doesn't make me just want to get him the football. It's an understanding that I need to get him the football. When guys give you that type of effort, they are going to be and need to be rewarded. And so I like that Ben uses that lens, that he has that positive negative reinforcement in him where he'll acknowledge stuff that happens, the dirty work that players invest in and say, look, here's your reward for that. I'm going to make sure that the ball comes your way a couple more times, and we're going to make sure we get it in your direction. Rome staying healthy, Jalen staying healthy this entire training camp. Those, I think, are two big deal things, as we talked about at the outset, where these are big-time players. These are established, high-end talent guys that, if they are healthy, can help your football team in a major way. And the fact that we went through all these injuries in the month of August and never had to circle Rome's number on the practice roster or Jalen's number on the practice roster, although Jalen did come out of the practice in Nashville for a little bit, but seems fine this week in the practices we've watched, that's a big, big step in the right direction.
Okay, so Jalen was back in practice on Wednesday then.
Back Tuesday and Wednesday. So he's
here's our Tuesday as well. Okay.
He's been back out there. He looks ready to roll. And I guess this would be a good time to listen to Dennis Allen, who really over the last month, this is the first chance he's had to get a good look at who Jalen is as a complete football player. And this was Wednesday afternoon, Dennis Allen giving his training camp thumbnail on what Jalen Johnson did.
This past month was your first extended up close look at Jalen Johnson healthy. What did you see?
Yeah, more specifically, the last 2 weeks.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Now that the school year is officially underway, families are getting a clearer picture of where students are thriving and where they might need a little extra support. It's the perfect time to reinforce what they're learning in class and build confidence along the way. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's unique level and pace. IXL supports classroom learning by providing personalized practice that aligns with what students are already studying. It's proven to improve achievement, with results seen in all 50 states. Plus, one subscription covers everything for all the kids in your home, making it a time-saving and cost-effective choice. It's a resource trusted nationwide, and IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners of this podcast can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You know, when you talk about really the joint practice against Cincinnati, his mindset going into the joint practice versus Tennessee, I've seen a guy that's really kind of taken a step forward. I think he himself probably feels more like himself. I've been really pleased with what I've seen out of him, in particular over the course of the last 2 weeks. I think his leadership, has started to, you know, kind of come to the forefront a little bit. That's needed. You know, we need him to play at a very high level for us to be successful. And I think he understands that. I think he accepts that challenge. I think he's looking forward to it.
I love hearing that, Dan. And I have moved to the old cliche of cautiously optimistic about Jalen Johnson returning to form. And his form is one of the top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL. And the leadership twist is a nice one.
It is. Look, and like the competitive tenacity has been evident in this camp. We've known it's been in there since we first met Jalen, you know, many, many years ago. What I like is you have had a coaching staff now that went into this offseason say, we really want to get to know Jalen a little bit better. And then they're getting to the doorstep of the regular season being like, we like what we've gotten to know. You know, like this guy is putting his stamp on things. He's making plays. He's providing some stability in a secondary that needs it. He's speaking up when things don't go the way that the standard says they should go. And so you've got a lot of things moving in the right direction with Jalen Johnson, similar to Roma Dunze. It's only going to help that side of the ball be better. And he's going to be a big time, X factor in where this defense can head this season.
Yeah. And I think they've been pretty honest about Jalen throughout the process. Like if we went back and listened to what Dennis Allen was saying a month ago and 2 months ago about Jalen Johnson, and right from the very beginning where he showed up to the voluntary workouts. Oh, hey, whoa, there's Jalen Johnson. Can we tell if he's up to speed yet? And he probably wasn't at that time. And I thought they were cautious in their comments. And they're still not like, there's not no hyperbole here. They're not saying, oh yeah, he's back to being a top 10 cornerback, but they're clearly encouraged by it. And if they weren't, they wouldn't be saying anything. And the thing is, man, they badly need Jalen Johnson to be Jalen Johnson.
Listen, you subtract Kyler Gordon, you subtract Kobe Bryant, the secondary, which looked on paper, you know, in the month of May, like, oh, this is legit. It becomes diminished a little bit. Thieneman to that list as well, who's coming on. Jalen's gonna be a big deal to the success of this team. And so, like, hopefully his motivation, which sometimes is financial, he's not afraid to tell you about what the contract rewards will be if he resumes the play level that he's had in the past. Let whatever drives you drive you. But when it's time to go out there in the regular season, come make an impact every quarter of every half of every game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One other thing from Dennis Allen that I had that I thought was pretty amazing that I heard him say is that he believes that Kentavious Street is having the best camp of anybody on that defense. And I'm not saying that he's not. Like he has been good, but I was very happy to hear that considering the camp that Jordan Vandenberg has been having. Like, it feels like he's been the shiny object that we've all been attracted to. No, look over here. There's Kentavious Street. And it starts to possibly answer more questions about why they thought Jervon Dexter was expendable. Add him to the list of guys in that room. Jaden Loving as well. Yeah. James Lynch added back to the active roster as well.
When I asked the question to DA about Kentavious Street, it was with the context of the Jordan Vandenberg hype is real and it's justified, but it's still a rookie learning to play. And so you're not going to be able to thrust him into, the biggest role he's ever had, you know, in football right away out of the gates of his rookie season in the NFL. And so Kentavious Street is going to be a guy that plays a lot for you in the early going for sure, if not the whole season. Grady Jarrett, who has history with Street from Atlanta earlier this summer, called him the Standard. He said that was his nickname with the Falcons, the Standard, because he did everything the way the Standard said it was to be done, which is a cool thing when you're talking about this coaching staff wanting things to be done a certain way. It's a great entry point because I think this D-line room, even with the subtraction of Jervon Dexter, has this combination of depth and cohesion that has really created encouraged feelings within the coaching staff. And you've heard that now for the last couple of weeks, and they feel like some of the things that they want to do with twists and stunts, these guys have meshed together in a way that allows them to do some of those things, to create some blitz packages that allow them to work off one another. And so you've got a mix here. And I, like I said, I was surprised throughout the month of August at how I was expecting to be, you know, just not impressed by the defensive tackle group. And you got to the end of it and you're like, they got some guys that can play here. And they're all going about it the right way. And right. So it's like strengthen numbers, strengthen the group and see what you can get out of it. You know, a couple notes to that front. Shamar Turner, a guy who's going to be out for a little while yet, but eventually you expect him to come back, and whether they mix him inside and out, whatever they find a role for him, he'll be part of that. And then with Vandenberg, I thought that DA had some good evaluation descriptions on Wednesday where he said basically the stage he's in right now is hidden production, right? Mm. Like he is creating enough disruption to open up opportunities for other guys. And so that's encouraging to us. And then when it comes to all these guys, Loving, as you mentioned,
yeah,
Vandenberg, Jeremy Croma, Jam, they call him up there at Helsall, who made the roster on the edge. They see guys who are really coachable, guys who are effort guys, and guys who listen, right? And like, so this coaching staff loves that kind of back and forth, you know? And so those are positive things in a defense that I think we might get into September a little bit and be like, oh God, some of these weaknesses are a little bit more glaring than we wanted them to be. But I think things are moving in the right direction, even with some of the talent deficits at certain positions.
Right. And then even some of the guys that are there, you expect Grady Jarrett to have a better season than he did last year with some of the knee stuff that he was injured. It just wasn't particularly effective when he played, or wasn't splashy at least. And then you know, if Dio Dangbo, like some of the stuff we saw from him in the preseason, like that has to go up another level. And then I'm excited about Neville Gallimore as well. So who knows?
By the way, Dio interception Wednesday afternoon on a tipped ball at the end of a team period. I think it was an end of game situation there over on field four, a nice little athletic play. There he is, Dio, making a splash.
I see you. Okay. All right. And then I guess news and notes and anything else that you have left. I got Kyle Manungai, still week to week, nothing new on him at this point, right? We're thinking we're living in a Roschon Johnson is your third string quarterback, or I'm sorry,
your backup
running back for probably for week one. I don't know, for sure.
I don't expect Manungai to be back in the mix next week. We'll see which direction he goes. So, you know, it's going to be the DeAndre Swift show for a little while in the backfield. I had Russell sit down with DeAndre. You can read about that in a couple of weeks. You got to sit down with DeAndre at the Gurney Hyundai recently.
That was awesome.
So pleasant. Good dude. And we had a good conversation. More on that in the days and weeks to come. Booker still out with a groin. DeMarco Jackson, the other guy on defense that was missing from practice the last couple of days, don't have a full update on what's going on with him. But that's the small list of injuries from the guys on the 53, which is not a bad place to be, even though you acknowledge that there are still a bunch of guys on the PUP list that aren't available to you.
Yep, that is the truth. And if you hadn't heard, yes, the Bears did officially sign Jack Sanborn back to the active roster. So they're a little bit more fortified in the linebacker room. They signed a couple of linebackers to the practice squad and Buddy Johnson and Wayne Matthews III. We knew that they needed to add there. And I like that they put James Lynch back on the active roster as well. He's another guy that could do some things along that defensive line. And then Marcus are we surprised Marcus Davenport landed on the practice squad? It's like the ramp-up process has been comical here.
It's been mysterious with him for sure. Yeah. And he's been out on the practice field the last couple of days, first time we've been able to see that. I don't really, you know, for our purposes, the practice squad and the active roster don't really make a big difference.
Yeah.
It's a different paycheck for those guys, so it's a big deal to them. But once you're part of the 69 guys that are inside the locker room at this time, you know, there will come a point where most of those guys on the practice squad will need an elevation and have to contribute for you as this season goes on. So he's here, and ultimately, I think we're both curious to see what they expect from him once they give him an actual game day jersey.
Dan, I think we've covered it all for another day here on TTN, unless you disagree with me.
Yeah, I got one more little nugget, and I asked Ben Johnson at the end of Tuesday's press conference about his own creative urges, because we've heard all along about, you know, Ben establishing this rugged running game, and we've heard Ben on the details, and you know that deep inside him, he wants to let his innovative side out a little bit more in 2026 than it was in 2025, and he sort of acknowledged that on Tuesday and saying, look, like we feel like we're in a better place of understanding what everybody does well, that's personnel and players, that's what our coaches do. And so now there is a little opportunity here to start pushing the envelope. And I just felt like that was worth mentioning because it's a tease that I think is going to get Bears fans a little titillated to know that, you know, once Ben gets into his bag, we know how deep Richard Hightower's bag is. We addressed that on the last episode. Ben's bag goes deeper than that. And I think we're all eager to start to see some of that stuff come to life.
I did take note of that. I did, because it's like he even kind of said, look, this is in my words, not his, but they had to waste a whole bunch of time last year with the install and trying to figure out a bunch of stuff, all the stuff that Ben Johnson takes very seriously. So I'm just kidding when I say it's a waste of time, but you know what I mean now.
I do.
Okay. Now everything's in the back.
Let's party.
Let's put those lab coats on, man. Welcome to the party, pal.
Look, like I would guess that coming out of one of these first two or three games that we're going to be on one of these episodes talking about a play that we had to go get the name of, and then we had to figure out who was the originator of the design and why did it work against what you guys were seeing. Like that's the fun stuff. And so I think that's going to be a little bit more plentiful this season.
Yeah, and maybe the trickery in the joint practice in Tennessee was just a little warning shot to the NFL and to reporters and Bears fans, say, hey, man, I'm into my bag now.
I mean, can you name it multiple trick plays from last year? I can give you a couple, but can you name them off the top of your head?
I do not have them at the top of my head. I don't want to right now. So you just tell me.
I'm pretty sure Caleb Williams had two receptions last season, right? One from DJ Moore and one from Tyson Bagent.
I remember. Yes.
So those were there. I think those were both in Cincinnati. There was obviously the flea flicker against Dallas. That was, you know, a conventional trick play, gadget play, if you will. Luther Burden's first NFL touchdown that turned Soldier Field upside down. So hopefully that highlight reel this year is a little bit more exotic and entertaining, because I think that'll be fun for everybody.
Oh, I thought you said that there were names for him. You said, do you remember the names for him? I didn't know you meant like what were the specific plays. Oh,
well, okay. I know Baby Daddy was the Tyson Bagent to Caleb Williams play.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the one from DJ to Caleb.
Because I remember the plays. I thought you meant specific and studs.
There was also a play called Lake Forest where Cole threw a fastball to Rome, but Rome dropped it. It looked like a great little play, but then Rome didn't catch it.
Studs is contending they ran like five trick plays in the Bengals game alone.
Yeah,
that was a wild.
That was
day.
The game. That was the day where they turned it loose, and then all the other games that, you know, they had a defense that was a little vulnerable, and so Ben went after them. But
yeah. Oh man. All right. To be continued, ladies and gentlemen. It's always to be continued on the Take the North podcast. And for Dan Weider of The Athletic, read him in The Athletic. Get your subscription. I have mine. It's worth your while. He's also a frequent contributor to The Score. For our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score, saying thank you so much for watching and listening to the mighty Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. Bears.